powered by Reuben James Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Periwinkles in downtown Burlington. Visit them online at periwinkles.com. Here's Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, good afternoon. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Wow. Busy Thursday.
Or do we ever have a show? I want you to start a show saying, it's not really that busy, but it's going to be fun.
Wow, it's a mediocre Thursday.
I didn't say
How
that.
How you doing,
not
man?
The show. Just
I'm in a good mood. I'm freshly shaven, as you can see. I'm looking good.
I can see all your chins.
Yeah, I look good right now. I'm feeling good. I was kind of dreading next week because my mother-in-law is coming to town.
Oh, no.
I found out today I'm never going to have to see her. She's not going to stay with us for a week. So I'm happy as a clam. I'm feeling good.
Well, I'm glad you are, because there's somebody in the studio that's a little salty today, and you gave him a good reason.
Little salty. He's more salty than the ocean, for crying out loud.
A little Brady. Animosity in the room
today. Oh, my goodness,
I walked
man.
In today at 3 o'clock, and Brady looked like he was just going to stare daggers right through you.
Did your dog die or something? What happened? What are you so salty about?
The bobblehead, the creepy bobblehead from the basement.
Oh my goodness.
That thing's worth a fortune.
I walked in and I broke his bobblehead, and I felt bad. I go, sorry. I'm sorry I broke the bobblehead. I kept saying, oh my goodness, sorry I broke the bobblehead.
Would you like the true story of what actually happened?
Yeah, sure. No, go ahead.
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, tell Richard.
I walked in and it's in pieces on the floor.
Yes.
If you want to really peel back the curtain,
yes,
first
peel
off.
Peel it back.
We've got Brady Henderson coming up at 5 o'clock, covers the Seahawks for ESPN Seattle. Arnie walks in, knowing who we're interviewing. You get the emails every day. He walks in at 3 o'clock and goes, who are we interviewing today? I said, Brady Henderson. Ricky Henderson?
Ricky Henderson. I thought he said Ricky Henderson. I'm like, yeah.
And then he turned around and he smashed my bobblehead off the windowsill in here. That's the gift from my brother from the basement of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You want to know something, Rich? I apologize. I felt bad, but you want to know something?
You did not say I'm sorry.
I did. I said it a million times.
You don't seem like an apologetic type.
I'm glad I broke it. How about that? I'm glad it's broken.
Oh, I'm sorry. We can't hear you anymore.
I'm glad it's broken.
So, Brady, you ready for a
good show today? Oh, my goodness. I said sorry a million times. It was a bobblehead.
We have 30 bobbleheads here. Why couldn't you have broken Charlie Sheen or some meaningless dolt?
I'll break them all before I get out of here, I'm sure. My goodness, man. It's just it wasn't like I left the door open and the dog ran away. It's a bobblehead.
Or the Tim Wallach. No, don't break Tim Wallach. That's a great old Expos. Louis Tion. I mean, there's a guy and his dog.
No, not Louis Tion. I like Louis Tion.
I know, but you could have broken Charlie Sheen.
You don't even know who was the bobblehead of. Who was it of, Rich? Who was the bobblehead of? You don't even remember.
But it was a gift from the cellar of the Hall of Fame.
So what?
Remember, we had the president of the director of the Hall of Fame on last month, and it was we were thrilled to have him on because we took something from his cellar.
It was, you know what? Within the next month, I'll break every one of these bobblehead dolls.
No,
I'll throw them across the room at your head. I promise you that.
No, you can't mess with Pudge or Mookie or Louis Tion.
All right, now we got to go ahead and get him. Now if we had Rich and Arnie bobbleheads, we can give him one of those.
Somebody already took the head off of President Obama in a Lake Monsters uniform. They're all in pieces.
Oh,
in there.
My goodness, man.
No, but that is like kicking his dog.
No, I broke
you're
it by accident.
His family.
Well, that's what you get when you put it on a shelf 2x2 and it's sticking off the end, waiting for me to knock it off.
Maybe
Rich.
If you lost a little weight, you wouldn't be able to
fit. Oh, it wasn't from my fat stomach. It was from the jacket.
It was from your giant jacket.
It was from my giant jacket.
What happened to the red Elmer Fudd pullover that
you
were
wearing
all
that
of
with
December.
Jeans. I wear your sweatshirt that you got me with sweatpants.
I mean, and
slippers, which I'm wearing now.
You come into work. Yeah, this is a workplace. Yeah. You're wearing sweatpants and slippers.
Yes. Well, they're rubber sole slippers. What? No comment from you because
no,
you dress like a slob.
I do the same thing.
You're not wearing slippers.
I got to be comfortable.
In the morning, yeah.
We're talking on the air. What do you want me to wear? Pants that are too tight with the belt too tight?
And notice this, Brady. All of a sudden, now he's got all these UVM Catamount shirts. They start winning every game. And, time to jump on that bandwagon.
Oh, look at you.
It's
you
not Boston Terriers hockey anymore.
Wow, you disgust me. You really do. I'm the only one here was backing him at the beginning of the year. You disgust the hell
also,
out of me.
Also, blatant lie. Yeah.
That's not a blatant lie. I'm the one that said they were going to be in the top 25.
Right, and it hasn't happened, so you're wrong.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
You're running out of games, my friend. Yeah, there's only two left.
Two left and then the tournament, the American East tournament.
Yeah. You're the one who was calling it the American East up until last week.
Oh, my God. You're going to hold my accent against me? Oh, my, the Provis sent me like a million tweets on that about me calling it the American East. Oh, my goodness, man. All right, look, we got a busy show. Lots going on. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. And I got to tell you, did I not come in here did I not come in here a little bit giddy and excited? Going, Rich? And have I ever been more excited to be wrong in my entire life?
No, you literally, I couldn't get it. And this is off the air. I mean, I can't get a word in on the air for 2 hours, but the whole 3 o'clock hour today, I'm just sitting here trying to have a sandwich, and you're just going, like a jackhammer.
I've never been more excited and happier about being wrong in sports than I am today.
That's saying something.
Well, here's we were obviously talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. We all know that Jimmy Garoppolo's contract is going to end after next season.
Correct.
So, and there's high value for Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's a first or a couple of seconds or whatever you want to do it. There's a lot of value for a quarterback, especially a high-end quarterback, especially somebody who could maybe be a franchise quarterback. So there's a lot of people interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. We all knew that he wasn't going to play for the Patriots and let him walk away for free. So we said, okay, they're going to trade him. He's not going to be on the team this year. Where is he going to go? Because Tom Brady going to be around, what do you say, for like 100 years? 3, 4, 5 years Tom Brady's going to be around. Well, that's what we thought was going to happen until today when I was listening to Colin Cowherd. Jason Whitlock was filling in for Colin Cowherd. Christine Leahy was doing the news at the bottom of the hour like she always does. Listen to this report and tell me what you think about this.
Oh, you mean you wanted me to actually play it?
Yeah, yes, exactly. There you
Take
go.
Take two.
Reports right now are that the Patriots are not expected to trade Jimmy Garoppolo despite all the rumors that they would try and that there's a hot market for him at the moment. He's a free agent in 2018, so it would be very unlike Bill Belichick to let him go the duration of his contract without trying to get some value for him before he walks away. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying, but do you remember we had Eric Mangini on earlier this week, I think on Tuesday, and he pointed out he doesn't think if Bill Belichick has evaluated Jimmy Garoppolo and he thinks Jimmy Garoppolo is a franchise quarterback, he doesn't think Jimmy Garoppolo is ever getting traded. He thinks we're looking at an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation that Brady may not get to play the 3, 4, 5 years he wants to play. He may get another year or two, and then it's time to turn it over to Jimmy G.
Well, if that's the case, though, then the Patriots are going to have to pay him a lot of money when his contract is up at the end of the year.
Jimmy G.
He'll be a free agent. So,
well, this may be, in my view, I think this year coming up is Brady's last year. That's my view.
Yeah, there you go. And you know what? If I would have said that, you would have just said, oh, you're just being a shock jock.
No.
You're being ridiculous and stuff like that. Jason Whitlock, of course, has been on ESPN and now with Fox. And of course, has been on TV and radio all over the place. First thing on that, he even gave you the source. He told you, even Eric Mangini told you, that he sees a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation. Two, if they don't trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and by this report, by Christine Leahy saying they're not going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody got to go because you're not paying Brady $20 million and you're not paying Garoppolo $20 million. Now, you can trade him halfway through next season, but you're not going to get as much value because then you're hoping a team is going to really be stuck and be desperate like Minnesota was.
By halfway through next season, I think the teams are going to be pretty aware of whether they have a problem at quarterback.
Yeah, but you're not. You know what? Again, you're going into the season thinking you've got your quarterback situation said there. So,
right, but don't you feel like the desperation factor could play into the hands for the Patriots next year?
Well, you got to hope a Minnesota situation happens. Otherwise, who can take another quarterback and pay him that type of money, which is what the Patriots are going to have to pay him?
Okay, I will agree with you down the line in 2 years. They're not paying two quarterbacks $20 million, one to sit on the bench.
So it's not even 2 years. It comes to right now. It comes to right now. If they don't trade Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason and he starts the season with the Patriots, that's it. All right? That doesn't come from me. That's it. It's simple math. It's simple logic here. At the end of that, you are going to have two quarterbacks. One's got to go. You're going to tell me you're going to let Jimmy Garoppolo walk away and get absolutely nothing? No. The person that's going to go, and you heard Jason Whitlock says it, he thinks Tom Brady's got one more year left in him. I think he's right. I think he's got one more year, guys.
One guy on the radio with a hot take, and you're diving right in.
No,
there's for every one guy saying that, there's five others saying Brady's got 3 or 4 years left in him.
Brady is under contract for three more seasons.
Right, I understand that.
He's under contract for
three
more seasons.
But go ahead.
No, he has a guaranteed contract. He has three contracts. Right. He has 3 years left on his deal.
Right.
So if you want to get rid of Brady,
right.
If Brady doesn't want to stop playing,
right.
If he doesn't want to retire after next year, and right. You want to keep Garoppolo, $22 million against the cap to release Tom Brady after next season.
That's not bad at all.
$22 what? Million dollars against the cap?
That's an enormous amount.
The Cowboys are taking a $24 million cap hit on Tony Romo this year.
Yeah, but he's right, but that they weren't planning. I mean, they weren't going to get rid of him. He was hurt.
But bingo, you just hit it because they got Dak Prescott. You're going to tell me your future quarterback for the next 15 years, you're going to let walk away because you didn't want to say you want to save $22
million? $22 million, 14 of that dead cap. And you have a guy who's won 5 Super Bowls who you – I think that the Belichick getting rid of people too early, I think it ends with Brady. I think they go with Brady for as long as Brady wants to play.
Then, I agree.
So then you guys either, A, don't believe the report and that he will be traded, or that at the end of the year, Jimmy Garoppolo walks away and the Patriots get absolutely nothing.
I do not believe he'll walk away and get absolutely nothing.
But right, so then you think he's going to get traded then?
I do believe that.
You don't believe the report then by Christine Leahy?
No, I believe the report that John Clayton gave me at the Super Bowl. That's what I believe.
Okay, I don't know the report. I just know the one we played, though.
We played it on the air.
Well, how long ago was that? I'm talking about the one we played 10 seconds ago. You want to replay John Clayton? I'll make a comment on that. Just on what Christine Leahy said. Why would you say whether you believe that report or not? I'm just kind of curious.
Like I said, it's just one hot take from one guy.
No. I'm talking about the Christine Leahy report that says the Patriots won't trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you believe that, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Why was that so tough then?
I don't believe it has to happen yesterday. It seems like that's all anyone's talking about on sports radio right now. Garoppolo. It's not like it has to happen this second.
Oh, I think it has to happen right around draft time. Because if you don't trade him, then the teams that want him have to do something about quarterbacks.
Okay. I understand that sense of urgency. That's 2 months away.
You guys think I'm absolutely nuts or Christine Leahy's... you guys think it's a bogus report? You think Jason Whitlock's talking out his backside? Because I kind of believe him. I think it is going to be one more year for Brady, then they got to make a decision.
Okay, I don't.
Well, you know what, somebody, you disagree with me both ways. Yesterday I said Jimmy Garoppolo going to get traded and he's going to walk away. You said, oh, no, they're going to keep him around. Remember when you were arguing with me about that?
Well, I'm arguing that they may keep him around through half of next year. Absolutely. When teams become desperate for a quarterback, I think there's value there.
This is the first time you've said that. That they're going to keep him through eight games of next year.
Yes, it is, but I've also said I think they're going to keep him around. But you get to the point where you can't pay two quarterbacks $20 million, one to sit on the bench.
All I want to say is this. I am already tired of talking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
A backup quarterback.
Really?
I understand. I really think that this is going to be the third most annoying National Football League story of the offseason. By far, number one most annoying up here. Tony Romo will be number one.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins, and will he franchise tag? Is he elite long-term deal? Will he get it? Blah, blah, blah. That'll be number two. And Jimmy Garoppolo will be number three.
Yeah.
I'm at the gym today. And for the entire time I'm at the gym, there's two things to watch, either a Donald Trump press conference or NFL on ESPN. The entire hour was Garoppolo and Romo and nothing else.
I was about to say, if you're tired of Garoppolo, wait till they start bringing up Tony Romo, who's getting released today, and that's going to be a $24 million cap hit. Did I say something that's not true?
He's not going to get released today.
Well, he's going to get released.
He's expecting to be released rather than be traded. It's not happening today.
Okay.
Stop with the fake news.
Whoa, what was the report? What was
the
report that came out today?
Ed Werder said Tony Romo was preparing to be released rather than be traded.
Okay.
And mentioned nothing about a timetable.
Okay, my bad. What fake news? That's not fake news.
Broke my bobblehead. I'll say what I want.
Wow. I'll tell you what.
That's real news.
You know what? That's a lie when you said fake news. Then you're making it sound like I'm making up a lie, and that's a total BS, Brady. I'm going to call you out for that. You're saying that I'm making something up. Tony Romo is going to get released. Tony Romo is going to go to another team. And when you say that's fake news, you make it sound like Tony Romo's not going to get released. He's not going to go to another team.
It is fake that he's going to be released today.
Well, the report came out today. All right, I should have said the report came out today. He's not going to get released today. But that's not fake news because I made a mistake. That's just you being a horse's ass because you're mad that I broke the bobblehead.
Oh, I'm very mad you broke the bobblehead.
And you know what? I'm glad I am. And you know what? You're just trying to be a real dick about it because, that's what you're trying to be and trying to go ahead and call me out. I'm saying you're full of baloney. And I'm telling you what, that wasn't fake news. I just went ahead and said, all right, I said today, but the report came out today. And Romo is going to get released, so you're full of it. You know what? I'm calling you out on that. You guys could call in on that. 802-655-6672. Who's wrong, Brady or I? Did I make that up?
You broke the bobblehead.
I'm glad I broke it. 655-6672. You tell me, you can start the voting, Rich. Was that fake news? Was that me lying? Or was it completely a bogus story?
No, it wasn't you lying. You only got one word wrong, but it's a crucial word.
What is it? Is it fake news, or was it just me making a mistake?
It's you making a mistake.
Okay, Brady says it's fake news, me lying. 802-655-6672. You're in the Huddle with Rich and Artie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow on Mike and Mike in the Morning at 8:05, it's ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. We're heading towards March Madness. Which teams could find themselves?
To Mandolin, Local 22, Local 44 News.
It's 25 at 101.3 ESPN.
Let's get back inside the huddle with Rich and Arnie, 101.3 ESPN.
You didn't like that? You wanted me to just be called a liar and just stand here and take it? You know I'm not going to take that from anybody.
So, how about the Patriots mock draft coming up? I hear it's going
to
be a good one.
You just told me to start with the fight. You said, oh, let's
You're
start with
liar.
The fight. Did you not just tell me to start with the fight?
Off air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's fun when you start screaming at people.
So, when I you think I was going to take it when people say I'm making up fake news?
No. No,
no,
but I just,
why is this making you uncomfortable?
No,
it looks like you wanted me to start with this.
No, it's not making me uncomfortable. Yes. I just told you to let it rip right on the air.
Yes,
let's go
I did.
2 hours.
I'll do 2 hours on this, Brady. Hours on this.
Bottom line, you said Tony Romo was being released today. That's not true.
But right, if I would have said, though, that he got traded to Denver, that's me making up fake news and lying. The fact that the story came out today and that he is being released, that's not fake news. It's just me saying, making mistakes, saying he didn't get released today. The story came out today. Fake news is when you say, hey, so-and-so got traded and you're just making it up and it's a lie. That's what fake news is. Is that what I did? If you think I lied, say it right now.
I think officially that's a lie, but I wouldn't call it a lie.
I don't think your intent was to deceive.
Well, if you think my intent was deceit, I purposely lied. You can say it now. I'm a big boy.
I don't think you intentionally deceived. I think you
what fake news is.
It feels like a mindless marriage argument.
Why'd you have me start with that then? Isn't that what you want me to start with?
Yes, I like it, but it just doesn't make any sense.
On Twitter, people are on my side. That's all I can say.
Really? How many? Read the Twitter comments. Let's go.
Yeah, but nobody ever agrees with Arnie.
Boy, Arnie's out there today. Guy won't quit.
That was it?
He might.
Yep.
He might.
You know what?
655-6672.
655-6672. Are we going to get the calls or you want to talk about the draft, Rich?
Much rather talk about the calls.
No, go ahead.
Want to talk about the draft? My team never gets to pick in the first 30 picks.
Because you just
anyway.
Said, let's talk about the draft.
No, I said, let's talk about the fighting.
You want to run back the tape?
All right. Can I?
You want to run back the tape that you just said? Oh, the draft? Jabril Peppers?
Did I misunderstand you?
Did you not bring up Peppers' name?
I don't even know what Peppers is.
Oh, from Michigan?
No, of course I didn't. Who the hell's Peppers?
Did you not just say, let's talk about the draft as we were fighting? Am I making that up, huh?
I have no idea. Come on, Rich.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, yeah, it's my fault.
All right, well, anyway, here's the topic. It says there, the draft, the NFL draft. Give me your thoughts on it.
Well, I think the Patriots are picking late. Back to you, Arnie. Who cares? The draft. How many years in a row? I'm not going to put the listeners through this again. Every single year that this show has existed, I have spent weeks drilling the stupidity and the utter nonsense that is the draft hype. Absolute nonsense.
I kind of agree with you.
I mean, Mel Kiper's already all over my television. When's the friggin' draft? 8 weeks?
Well,
who cares? Let's get that left tackle from Clemson. He really made a big hit.
Brady, what was the subject about the draft that you put up on the sheet here about Jabril Peppers? What am I missing here that Rich is yelling at me about?
The Patriots are going to pick in the first round. Okay, they did not last year because of Deflategate. And Mel Kiper's mocked to them. Jabril Peppers, the safety, kind of do everything, corner, linebacker, hybrid, even played some quarterback at Michigan. And bottom line, that would be a great fit for this Patriots defense.
You don't care about that.
I would like, look, overall, I can make a statement, but when it comes to talking about some guy from Michigan or anywhere else, I don't follow enough college football to know the difference. But I do know that I would love to see the Patriots get stronger in the secondary. Absolutely. I think that is a place of need. Eric Rowe had a good Super Bowl. He had a couple of good games during the season, but I'm not sure he's your answer long term.
I would tell you this. If you get Jabril Peppers, it's a steal. I don't think he's going to drop that far. He is an all-around person. He's phenomenal. I love him on the defensive end. He'll do a little bit of everything. You've seen him, I think, line up in the backfield. If I say I think I line him up in the backfield and he doesn't, is that a fake news too? Or if I say he does line up in the backfield?
See, now the rest of the show.
But I think he does do a little of everything. At least I feel he does. And I tell you, he's a really good player. I think he finished in the top 10, or he was considered a Heisman Trophy candidate, and which is tough for the position he plays. But he's a good player. I like him.
Daron Harmon, who knows what he's going to be. And I think he's a restricted free agent. But Logan Ryan, who's also a restricted free agent, they cannot lose him. He had a big year.
He is a free agent.
Isn't he restricted?
Butler is restricted.
Okay. So I would not. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about Ryan and Butler potentially going somewhere else, you absolutely
and Harmon's a free agent too.
Yeah, don't worry, he's all right.
Bottom line is he's a fit player. He can do a little bit of everything, but he's not locked into one position. He's not a cover corner. He's not a true every down safety, and he's not a linebacker. He's a bit of a hybrid. When every team is playing four wide receivers, he's a guy who can get on the field and play with some physicality. The real question for the Patriots is, do you take the best player available, or do you take a position of need? Because Peppers may be the best all-around player at the number 32 spot. Would you rather have the best player available, or do you need a left guard? Do you need a defensive end? Do you need an edge rusher? Do you need another backup quarterback if you are going to trade Garoppolo? Those are the questions, really. Best player available or position of need?
And that's the thing. I mean, I could talk about the secondary, but you can never have enough offensive linemen, especially on the left side. Absolutely. If there's a guy at 32 or wherever they're picking that fits that need, absolutely. I've never thought about the best athlete available as the way to go, especially in football where you have such specific needs.
All right, John, you're in the huddle with Rich and Artie right here, 101.3 ESPN. And by the way, jump on in. I think we have one line open at 802-655-6672. Rich, something that you were up in arms about also. Got calls. So we gotta take that real quick.
You're scaring them, but we do have one daring caller.
Who am I scaring? What are you talking about?
Well, first of all.
I think you're scaring them, to be honest with you, Rich. Brady, who's up? I don't have my phone up here. Frank in Burlington. Good evening, Frank. You're in the huddle with Rich and Artie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good,
I had a quick take on why you guys are arguing about Garoppolo and stuff like that. What if the Patriots aren't going to release Garoppolo because Belichick's going to retire after next year? He doesn't care what they do with Brady.
I didn't think of that.
That's but one angle we haven't hit.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. I don't think he'll walk away from that.
Everybody's saying Brady and Belichick are going to go out together. But what if Belichick doesn't want to wait that long? He's going to take off, and then what does he care what they do with Brady and Garoppolo after that?
And why next year, though? Why would he stay the three more years that Brady has?
Oh, just take one more year, try to win him back-to-back again. And then if he doesn't, then he just closes out.
Actually, and you bring up a good point, but I'll give you a better reason. I'll give you a better reason why he would walk away after one year. There'd only be one reason why that Belichick would walk away after next year. I could think of just one.
Okay.
He doesn't want to make the decision of the Brady. Really? That's,
no, no, I know.
I mean, other than that, really, he probably would love to stay. He probably will stay. The only reason he would leave, either he got tired of it and just doesn't want to do it anymore, or he just doesn't want to make the Brady decision. And I don't blame him. Some people don't want to make that type of decision.
Don't you get the feeling Belichick is a guy who will do that until he's basically on his deathbed, though?
Do you feel
like he'd walk away from football with
no,
it just seems like a lifer to me.
No, I don't think he will. I think the caller brings up a good point, though. I didn't think about that.
I thought that was the one angle
I
haven't hit.
I didn't think about that. I mean, that's a good point. I do think he'll stick around, but if he does leave, it's because he doesn't want to go ahead and tell Tom Brady he's got to be gone. He'll say, you know what? Hell with it. I'll just leave. I'll retire for like a year. I'll see what opens up after that. I'll take a year vacation or something like that.
Does that seem a little petty for Belichick, though? I mean, it doesn't seem like something he'd do. It just seems like a lame reason for a guy who's gone through everything that he has and has been so important to football as he is to leave for a reason like that.
Who was the coach? Who was the general manager? Was it McCarthy up in Green Bay when he had to go through the whole Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers things? That was pure hell on him. I mean, that aged the man. So I'm not sure who was really calling the shots up there at the time, but there was a lot of finger pointing and a lot of I'll say this in front of the media and I'll say that. So I don't think I'd want to go through that.
And you know how much Belichick loves being dragged through the mud at press conferences.
Well, McCarthy is the head coach of the Packers.
Yeah, McCarthy. So I don't know who is
Ted Thompson.
Yeah, maybe it was Thompson that was going through this.
Yeah, he's leaving. He's staying. He's going somewhere else.
I don't think I would want to go through that when it comes to an icon. I mean, look what it came to when the Lakers re-signed Kobe for all that money. They just said, oh, you ruined the team. Look what you did for the 2 years. You destroyed them.
The bottom line is this, though, is that even if you choose, okay, if you choose Garoppolo, if you're going to keep Garoppolo, you decide. Then you're going to trade Brady because of the dead cap money, and then you're going to have to – you're not hiding anything. You're going to have to actively shop him places and see who needs a stopgap quarterback in 2 years that he can take over. They're not just going to release Tom Brady and take that $22 million cap hit. There's everybody who needs a quarterback always. Someone will need one in 2 years also for a year or two.
All right, let's just say that's true then. They're not going to release Tom Brady. They're not going to get rid of Tom Brady, okay?
Right.
So then,
which I believe too.
Okay, so then if you believe that, then you do believe that they have to trade Garoppolo. Then there's no, because we argued about this all year. You said they were going to keep him through his whole contract. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that said he was going to be trading, and now we're flip flopping sides here. It seems like now you're the one that's saying they're going to trade him, and I'm the one that's saying.
Well,
they're
I'm starting
keep him.
To believe that they might actually get something for him. And yesterday had an impact on me too. And I know it's just Brady saying what he's supposed to say. But when he looks in the camera or the microphone and legitimately says, I don't see why I can't play to 45, I started thinking about that last night. You know, maybe he could. What signs are there that he can't?
It's not that he can't play to 45, and of course his skills are going to deteriorate. We all know that. It's if Jimmy Garoppolo is the next best thing. I mean, if you can let Brett Favre go, and how many years did he play after he left Green Bay? I mean, he had the Jets.
At least three.
Jets, Minnesota.
Including his best year statistically ever.
If you can let Brett Favre go, then who's to say you can't let Tom Brady go? And that was a horrible I mean, I don't say a horrible decision. That was the toughest decision that Green Bay ever had to make in their entire lives. How about Chicago Bulls? Michael Jordan played for the Wizards. I mean, the Bulls could have easily brought him back also.
Joe Montana to the Chiefs.
Joe Namath finished up for the Rams. Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to icons, you know, you got to go ahead and finish up or retire.
The thing that is different about those situations is that those guys were on the decline and wanted to keep playing. Brady right now is at arguably top three in the sport. He just won the Super Bowl.
Well, the thing is with San Francisco and Montana is they had Steve Young. And I think they wanted to get Steve Young in there. Yeah. Now you got – it's the same situation with Brady and Garoppolo. It's like a Montana-Young thing. Montana, you want – I mean, if you could slide Joe Montana out, and some people think he's the best quarterback in the history. If it's not Brady, it's Joe Montana.
That being said, I agree with Brady about the fact that Tom Brady leaves when Tom Brady decides he leaves.
No.
You don't believe that? I absolutely do.
Look, I don't remember exactly what happened here because I'm not old enough. 1991, yeah. Montana didn't play at all. 1992 – he played one game for the 49ers, and then he went on to the Chiefs. You're talking about a guy who had missed a full season and nearly all 15-16s of the next season, and the last year that he was a starter, he went 14-1. But then he missed two seasons.
You said that he gets to leave whenever he wants to leave. He gets to dictate that. Let me tell you why he doesn't. Because when you have icons that have built programs like Bobby Bowden over at Florida State, even somebody like him does not get to dictate when they get to call it quits, okay? Even somebody who builds up an entire program, an entire college football and makes all that money, they don't even get – I mean, Bear Bryant, I don't think got to call it quits when he wanted to.
But don't you feel like Tom Payton – Tom Brady doesn't want to be Peyton Manning, and I know his legacy will never be tarnished, but I can't picture Tom Brady having a mediocre season and just saying, we'll just have one more for old times, and going out and stinking the joint out.
And same thing. I'm going to keep finding examples of this. Yeah. You talk about Joe Namath. Joe Namath in 1973 went 2-3, missed nearly all of the season, went 2-3. Then he went 7-7, 3-10, and 1-7 with the Jets. He had four consecutive poor years, and then he moved on. Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl. You're not just getting rid of it. And Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl last year, but was clearly deteriorated. Tom Brady could have been the MVP of the league this year.
Well, take all those things you said, right? That was the last 3 years of a guy playing in the NFL, right? You're giving me Namath and you're giving me Joe Montana,
yes.
Right? So what makes you think that Belichick doesn't say the same thing's going to happen to Brady? That's why we want to keep Belichick, because Brady's going to have those type of numbers, but we're not going to wait and pay him for him to go 3-10, get hurt, 2-7. He may look at exactly what you just read us and say, well, I'm not waiting to pay him for that. You're out now, and I'm going to keep Garoppolo.
But that's what makes this so interesting, because of the numbers you just brought up. These are guys whose ships had clearly sunk. I mean, with Brady, what if he's still the top three quarterback next year? Then what do you do?
Even if he's the top three, let's say he does play three more years. Are you willing to sacrifice 3 years of having Tom Brady and having Jimmy Garoppolo, if he is a franchise quarterback, be a franchise quarterback for somebody else for 15 years?
No. I just think this is a very different situation. I mean, I don't look at this with such urgency, because I feel like Brady's just going to stay good. Because he's not giving any indication. I understand that at some point the skills subside.
Well, there's urgency on Garoppolo.
Yes, there is, and that's why
you have no choice.
Right. I don't think it has to happen immediately. We're going in circles on Garoppolo.
But I don't understand. You guys both said that you didn't think he was going to be traded. He was going to come back
Correct.
To the Patriots, and now you're thinking he is going
yes,
to be traded.
Yes, I've moved a little bit over to the other side of the fence a little bit, mostly because of what Brady said yesterday.
All right, because if he's going to be traded, then it's going to be before the season. It's not going to be let's wait till halfway through, because the last week of the trade deadline.
Do you want to bet on that?
Yeah, I do. I definitely want to bet on that. I absolutely want to bet on that.
I've said all along that I think he's going to be traded, except that where we disagree, Arnie, is that I have said the Patriots still hold the cards. The Patriots don't have to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. I think they will, but Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have the cards.
If they don't get rid of him, he walks away and you get nothing.
Okay, but after next year, he doesn't hold. You telling me. You've been saying all along, if Jimmy Garoppolo tells the Patriots, trade me or I'm not coming to camp, that's not a scare tactic to the Patriots.
Well, so you're going to tell me the Patriots would keep him for a year and then he'll walk
away?
No,
they're going to trade. I am telling you, they are going to trade him.
Because you can't let him play for the year and walk away for nothing.
That's not Jimmy Garoppolo having the cards. That's his contract ending.
It's totally Jimmy Garoppolo having the cards, because he knows that the Patriots can't walk away with nothing.
But Garoppolo still, I mean, the Patriots hold the cards next year, because Garoppolo, he can say, you know what, screw this, I'm not going to play. But they still have his contract.
But he still
owns the contract.
I understand, but he knows you have to trade him, because he goes, if you're going to keep me for the whole year.
Yeah, that devalues him a little. Yeah.
You get nothing for him.
Yeah,
You get zero for him.
If Cleveland comes and says, here's our number one pick, see ya. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Is that going to happen?
Okay, then you get zero for him. If you want to keep him for the year, he knows you keep him for the year, you get zero, and he knows Belichick's not going to do that. He knows Kraft's not going to do that. I understand that
there is some, and I get your point about hurrying up because the draft is only 7 or 8 weeks away or whatever.
That plays into this.
Yeah. I understand that, but at the same time, it doesn't, that the pay, for you to say that they have to get rid of him before the season starts. No, they don't. He's under contract with
them next
year.
It's like me saying either your car's going to sit in your yard and you do nothing with it, or you could sell it for $2,000. What are you going to do?
I would, of course,
you're
going to
sell it. Well, you could either keep Garoppolo around and get nothing for him at the end of the year, or you can get a first-round pick for him now.
Yeah, but
what are you going to do?
But what if I need that clunker of a car because my other one doesn't work?
Well, then you're thinking Brady's going to get hurt and you don't know that.
No, but that's always another alternative that we haven't brought up.
Then you're going to keep around two cars and pay big money for that.
Apparently, that is how it would have to be.
Okay.
Yes, well, but not $20 million.
No, not $20 million. Well, $20 million just for Brady. I'll tell you what, we got to come back. We'll take that. The Catamounts are in the news. And I want to get to your Rebels story, because I know you're really hot and heavy on that also. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow on Mike and Mike in the Morning at 9 o'clock in studio, it's ESPN NBA analyst and former NBA standout Jalen Rose. He talks about the NBA standings as we hit the All-Star break. Jalen Rose.
6672. Call Rich and Arnie now to sound off. The huddle is on. 101.3 ESPN.
You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN.
Give me a hug. Come here.
You know, I got to tell you, you guys are all mad at me, but I'm like, hey, I'm not going to sit here and just take your grief. Let's do it, man. You guys want to fight? Let's fight.
Give me a hug.
Let's fight.
Sounds like I'm mad at you.
No, but you guys were giving me grief at the break. I'm ready to throw down, baby.
Just like on the basketball court, Brady.
We did that once, and then he came in and got all mad, so we stopped.
I did what? I didn't even
on the basketball court.
He never has played me one on one yet.
I'm talking about the day where I guarded you at half court and was trying to steal the ball, and you started throwing elbows at me, and you were like, "Don't guard me like that! Don't guard me like that!" And I said, "Come on, Arnie."
He was slapping at me. He was, you know, again, when you do things to me, you start slapping at me, you get the elbow, Rich.
So it's okay for you to start throwing elbows, but what happens when the other person throws elbows?
I fully expect to get it back. But if I don't throw elbows, you better watch
Central
out.
Wednesday League, you just heard
it.
I don't throw elbows at Arnie. I just go right by him and go to the hoop.
Wow.
There's no reason to throw an elbow when you're running past him.
Yeah. We only had 9 guys yesterday. Very disappointed because of the snow. Very disappointed about that.
So what was it? 5-on-4? How'd you handle that?
Four and four, full court. One guy, would rotate and stuff like that.
Okay, and you scored 37 points.
I was on fire. I just was talking so much crap. I wasn't even
playing. Played a lot of defense.
No defense whatsoever. No defense. James Harden defense like that. Just let people go right by me. All right, though, what's going on with your Rebels? Because this, again, in the news, and now it's going to cost a lot of money for the name change locally. I know you're all crazy about this. I actually met some people that were playing basketball Wednesday night. They were all upset about this also. Is it that big of a deal or what?
It's a very big deal, Arnie, and it's a group of people, a couple of people from the community, and a pretty large group of people from South Burlington High School students who have a problem with the name Rebels. They bring it back to the days of the Civil War and the whole concept of what a rebel was. Well, the people who are pro-nickname of Rebels, one of the reasons is because it's been Rebels forever and they don't like the change, which is, you know, that thinking with their heart sometimes instead of their head in some cases, but also because they're saying that they're rebellious, they're rebels. It's strange because all these people who wanted it changed, you know what they were? Rebels.
What the? Is Old Miss still the Rebels? Is that?
Yes, UNLV.
UNLV running Rebels.
Yeah. Well, I thought they... All right, I thought somebody had changed their name from the Rebels because of that, but I guess not.
So. No, I just, I think, so the school board, under the pressure of a couple of people from the community and a student group, voted unanimously just to change it, just like that a couple weeks ago. And I think right now, I heard somebody saying this town is 10 times more divided since they decided to change the name than they were before.
Brady, do you have the numbers that we had in the story by any chance? How much it's going to cost to change all this? That's the part.
Well, it's like $135,000.
That's the part.
Total.
That bothers me more than anything ever. That's the part because it's going to cost a lot of money to do this. That's money. It says exactly where what's being allocated. I'm not going to go through that. This was allocated and all that. That's just money that should not be used for a name change for uniforms, middle school, side stuff on the walls and stuff like that. Hundreds of thousands of dollars needs to go to teachers, books, study materials, computers. We don't need to have it for name change. Not in the state of Vermont, not here.
Right.
In the Burlington area, you can't do that,
well,
Rich.
The part of me that doesn't like it is just because, and I know this is the way a lot of people are just thinking of it with their heads or their hearts and not their heads. I mean, it's been that name forever. So it's like, and I just don't find it offensive. Maybe I'm just being naive here, but the thing about changing the name, you're right. I mean, more than a lot of schools, I've done tons of sporting events on the radio at South Burlington. The word Rebels is all over everything. The scoreboard with a huge sign saying home of the Rebels. Rebels all over the football field. It's not like there's Confederate flags running all over the place. It's not that connotation to the name. But Rebels, there's going to have to be a lot sunk into changing the name because it's all over everything.
I want to get two types of calls. One that agree with you, Rich, that actually is really upset about this. One, and I don't know if we're going to find a call like this, one that's, and look, everybody's entitled to their opinion, Rich. Mm-hmm. One that's like, you know what? I really did find it offensive, or I really think we should have changed the name, and maybe it wasn't that offensive, but we should have changed the name. Maybe that's just the time we live in. 802-655-6672, 655-6672. I really would love to find somebody that thinks that it was worthy changing of the name.
I just think you have to be so... Every name practically is going to offend somebody, right?
Yes.
Every name practically is going to offend somebody. You could change it to the South Burlington Avalanche because we get a lot of snow. Well, avalanches have killed people.
Right.
You could change it to the Blizzards or the South Burlington Blizzard. Well, blizzards have killed people before.
Right. Yep.
the Hurricanes.
Sure.
Any nickname with weather, any nickname with animal, you can change it to the Wolves. Wolves have killed people before. I mean,
see, if you changed it from Crusaders to Red Hawks.
It's not okay.
Crusaders actually did kill many, many people.
I forget about killing.
I wouldn't know that.
What about it being offensive then? You could say, hey, we're the New York buses, and buses have killed people. The New York cars, people have died in a car crash. How about, though, the fact that it could be offensive to people out there, kind of like why we have to change names that are named after American Indians or something like that.
Well, and Danville's not budging. They're still the Indians, and I say God bless them. They're celebrating the Indians. I mean, it's just they haven't budged on that one. Nobody seems to be worried about that, but Rice shortchanged their name a few years ago there was quite a bit of fanfare, but it died off.
Look what's going on in the NFL with the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big thing.
Yeah, at what point does this stop? I mean, I understand what we've come into a little bit more of a politically correct world, but it just seems to me that you're changing decades and decades of tradition because a couple of people stood up and said this is an outrage and it's dividing the whole school. I actually heard one person at that meeting say that students are afraid to tell their friends that they go to South Burlington High School for fear that there's going to be retribution. Because you play at a high school called the Rebels, so someone's going to beat you up.
We got a call, so if you want to jump in, and I do want to find somebody that's actually going to find it offensive, Rich, because, I mean, there is two sides to every story.
Absolutely.
802-655-6672, 655-6672. Paul from Colchester. Paul, good evening. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Paul?
First, I just want to say, as you said, I'm not from South Burlington. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make that big of a difference to me, but people seem to forget that Rebels, our original patriots, the forefathers, were rebels. They rebelled against England and everything. I just think people are making too big of a thing out of the name Rebels.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. I mean, that's what I thought, too. First of all, it never even occurred to me that what Rebels meant. It was just like, oh, that's offensive?
The most offensive part is the money they're spending. I can't believe people are not upset that they're going to spend hundreds of thousands of
dollars. They are. Trust me.
That's a lot of money for a school budget.
Is this also geographically related? Like, okay, you're talking about the sides of the Civil War, so because we're in the North, we're supposed to be offended that the rebels were more in the South. The Patriots and the Yankees, are those offensive to people
to me, that's
south of the Mason-Dixon line? Is it the exact same thing?
Yes.
Is it just because we won the war that it's not offensive? The North won the war, it's not offensive?
And how many people have said, well, wait a minute, we rebelled and broke away from Burlington and became South Burlington?
I mean,
there's a million different angles you could take on this one, and I just don't get it.
But wait a minute, you said there's a million different angles, but you don't see anybody else's.
There's two. I mean,
you don't see the other angle on this one.
I've sided with rebels right from the very start. Absolutely. I never spent one day being educated in the South Burlington school system. No one in this room has.
But that
doesn't mean you can't have your opinion about it.
No, absolutely. I just mean like Redskins, I don't see the other side of this. I don't see the other side of the rebels either. I'm like, no, I don't see it offensive at all.
Yeah.
I don't see the other side of it. I only see one side of this one.
And
it has no difference that I didn't get educated here or not.
No, and I didn't go to that school board meeting where they voted unanimously to change the name to something other than rebels, but I watched every second of it on tape. It was right out there online for anybody that wanted to see it. And everybody spoke very passionately, articulately, and eloquently about both sides. I had no problem with it, but by the end of it, I came to the same conclusion.
I have no problem with Redskins, though. They make you feel bad if you say that because they talk about how heinous of they talk about the crimes and, you know, the blood and all that when it comes to using that word.
My only problem with the other side, with the anti-rebels name, was talking about how they fear for their safety because they go to South Burlington. Really?
Yeah, that's a little disturbing, to be honest with you. Let's go to Adam in Williston. Adam, good evening. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I love the show.
Thanks, Adam.
I was actually a junior at CBU when they changed the name from Crusaders to Redhawks. And what started out as a very, very vocal minority started out plastering the school, changing the names, all the connotations that are associated with the word Crusaders from thousands of years ago had completely changed by this time.
And that's exactly, I think, the case, maybe not thousands of years. Thanks for the call. But rebels, to me, I look at a rebel as a rebellious person who's battling against something, and that's exactly what these people are doing, really, ironically.
And I do I did go to a high school where we had this same kind of controversy. Now, the controversy over the name. Now, I played for a high school named after, you know, Native American high school, and our team name was the Plainsmen, and we had Native American logos on all of our jerseys, and they scrapped that, and they, you know, they took them down to the freshman team, and then they eventually got rid of them entirely. Mm-hmm. But the name stayed the same, but they just gave you a different logo. Rather than mm-hmm. a different, they gave us a horse logo and a mascot that was the Stallions. And I just didn't understand it. As long as the Native Americans that inhabited Eastern New York were okay with it, I was okay with it.
I don't see the other side of this. You said both sides spoke eloquently. Yeah. I don't see the other side of this. I really don't.
No, I haven't talked to any of them. That's why I was hoping we could get
Well, because you say you see both
call.
Sides. I don't see both sides.
Okay, well, watch the tape sometime.
No, I'm asking you to tell me what the other side is.
The other
is,
side was that it was dividing the school and that there were several African-American people in this region that were very, including one person who was really kind of fought the big fight right from the start from the side of.
All right, so we're saying it's like maybe I didn't know it was a racist term.
Absolutely.
Okay, I had no idea that rebel was a, that's the first time I'm hearing the
word
racist.
Well, back to the Civil War, back to slavery. There's a connotation.
I was waiting to hear that. I did not hear that it was tied into a racist term. I just thought that maybe it was derogatory. I didn't know it was a racist term out
no,
there.
No, I mean, you talk about PC Patrol never coming at you when you'd think they would. My high school, Milton High in Massachusetts, we were the Whiz Kids, which was just, I don't know what that was, but that's what we were. And we used to play Braintree Mass, our arch rivals. You know what they're called? The Womps. I mean, and they're still the Womps.
I don't even know what that is.
Is Kids offensive then to people with IQs under a certain number? Like,
they're now the Wildcats, by the way. They did get changed.
I'll tell you what, a lot of people are calling. Let's go. Quick break. We'll come back, take calls. We got to get to the Catamounts. I got to get to the tattoo story. I got so much to get to. I don't even know where to begin. If you want to jump in, why do we even have one line open at 802-655-6672? That's 655-6672. Talk more about this. Is it offensive? Am I seeing the wrong side of this? Because I don't see the other side of this at all. We'll come back. We'll take more calls and all that. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow on Mike and Mike in the Morning at 8:05. It's ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. We're heading towards March Madness. Which teams could find themselves on the top spot come NCAA tournament time? Jay Billis tomorrow at 8:05.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Brady Henderson stops on by, covers the Seahawks for ESPN 710 in Seattle. We'll get to that. First, though, Henry's waiting patiently. Henry, you're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Henry? Oh, Henry.
Oh.
Henry.
Oh, well.
One of my favorite
authors. Not there.
But just to get, just wanted to sort of bring up the facts about, because it's all emotion when it comes to this Rebels thing with me, and I just blurt out stuff. But students basically surprised community members last fall. They brought up at a school board meeting in South Burlington that they felt unsafe discussing how they felt about the Rebel name.
Meaning that they were in for the name and they felt threatened by the other side, or they were against the name?
I would imagine it was the people who were for changing the name that were getting the heat from other people.
Well, there must have been a lot of other people that wanted that name changed, and who would kind of feel heat. First of all, was it other high school kids that were giving them heat? Or
was that and a couple of very
parents?
A couple of very active community members who were driving this whole thing.
I would like to find out. I'd like to see who was giving kids heat. That's a little bit out of bounds.
Yeah, but they said steady pressure from students and parents resulted in the superintendent's recommendation to the board to change the name with the backing of the principal. And the board's vote, which was February 1st, a couple of weeks ago, was unanimous. And now they're starting an online petition group to get the name back. And I think basically the people who want to keep the name just want to be heard, because this, all of a sudden, they just unanimously approved changing the name, and that seemed to be the end of it.
Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way, because I would think I want to say, if I was a teacher there, I want to talk about the money. I want that money. I have so many things, so many different programs, teaching, books, computers. That's the offensive part to me, that you're going to spend $200,000 or whatever it is, a lot of money, to go ahead and change the name on walls and uniforms. That, to me, I can't comprehend.
And the thing is, too, if you get 5,000 people signing a petition saying keep the Rebels, and you've got 27 people who want to change it, what do you do? I mean, the petition is already going to be submitted, if it hasn't yet, too late for a town meeting day ballot. I think it's March 7th this year. For town meeting day, where they could actually change something. It's too late for that, so this is going to go on for a while.
All right, hour one in the books. We'll come back. Brady Henderson going to stop on by. Covers the Seahawks for ESPN 710 in Seattle. More your calls. Also, you're in the Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
Hey, this is Traylor Haynes.
Hey, this is Kurt Suttle of the University of Vermont basketball team.
And you're listening to your home for UVM Hoops.
101.3 ESPN. Go Cats.
Tony Romo could be on the move this offseason. Cowboys quarterback, according to multiple reports, says he expects to be released rather than be traded. Being released will obviously allow him a chance to go talk to any of the up to 10 teams that could be in need of quarterback improvements this season. Adrian Peterson is an $18 million investment for the Minnesota Vikings this year if they retain him. If they set him free, though, he could be looking at the New York Giants. He has an affinity for New York. For the G-Men, for quarterback Eli Manning, and has taken note of the G-Men and their offseason moves on Twitter. Could Army-Navy be played here in New England? Well, it's possible. Fenway Park and Gillette Stadium have put in bids to hold the 2018 rivalry game. Yankee Stadium also in the mix. Could Alex Rodriguez be a Major League manager in the future? And could he be a manager of the New York Yankees? Don't count it out, says Andrew Marchand, who covers the Yanks for ESPN New York. Brady Henderson of ESPN 710 in Seattle is next, talking about why the Seahawks weren't punished by the NFL when the Patriots seemingly get punished for everything. All that and more next. You're listening to The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
Talking sports. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in The Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Rich, just be quiet for 1 second because we got to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, he covers the Seahawks for ESPN 710 in Seattle. It's Brady Henderson. And Brady, right off the bat, fill me in. What's going on? Make sense of this whole Seahawk thing, what they report, what they knew, what they didn't know. Should they have gotten in trouble? Reset this whole thing for me.
Yeah, well, basically the conclusion that when the verdict that the NFL reached was that the Seahawks were in violation, but they deemed it to be a misinterpretation of the rules as opposed to an intentional thing. And I think that's why they decided not to come down on the Seahawks. There was some talk of a report from ESPN that said it could be a second round pick, which seemed pretty extreme given, you know, the severity of what we were talking about. But then as it went on, there was another report from the NFL Network saying that they weren't expected to be punished heavily, if at all. And that was, I think, on the day of the Super Bowl. And then it came down earlier this week that they were getting off with just a warning over this whole thing. And this all dates back to Richard Sherman's an injury that Pete Carroll revealed at the end of the season, saying that Sherman was dealing with an MCL injury for the second half of the year. Now, that's a problem because that was never listed on the injury report. He was on the report, but it was listed as not injury-related, and it was kind of basically understood that it was just a veteran rest day. But it was never listed on the injury report, and so that's kind of why the Seahawks got in some hot water there.
Brady, how did Seattle fans and the media and so forth feel, though, when this came out about Sherman's injury and going, uh-oh, here we go, another Deflategate?
Yeah, I think there was kind of an uh-oh, here we go again feeling just because this is, the Seahawks have kind of been in this position before under different circumstances with the NFL, but with more so along the lines of practice violations and off-season practice violations for excessive contact, which is you know stipulated against in the CBA. And I think there was three incidents, including one from I think last off-season that the NFL came down in September and they docked them a fifth-round pick and also fined the team heavily. And so I think, you know, that they had been repeat violators of that. I think that's why the penalty was a fifth round pick. They certainly took that into consideration. And so there was, yeah, kind of a feeling of here we go again. I think some people thought that, you know, this was some people were kind of angry that, you know, thinking maybe the NFL is sort of targeting the Seahawks. That's kind of an ongoing thing here, thinking the NFL is out to get the Seahawks, which is probably true of a lot of fan bases with their respective teams, but also a feeling of, you know, why can't you guys get this
why can't you guys get this figured out? You know, this keeps happening time and time again, it seems. So, there were some and certainly some people that thought that it was, you know, kind of seemed like much ado about nothing. So, I would say pretty different opinions on what it was, and then ultimately it ended up being the NFL just decided not to punish them.
You know, Brady, I got to tell you, we're up here, obviously, in Patriot country. So do you want to take one guess what Patriot fans are saying? Because I'll tell you what Patriot – Tommy from Boston, the Seahawks are repeat offenders. What's going – if this was the Patriots, we would have lost all our draft picks for 5 years straight or something like that. You know, they're saying – because they really feel they get slighted by the NFL. You understand that, Brady, right?
Absolutely, yeah, and I saw some of that reaction on Twitter, and I think what the NFL determined, and in the wording, and of course the NFL is not transparent about stuff like this, so we kind of have to rely on the reports, including some from the NFL Network, so we can assume that information is all on good authority, and the wording of the report from Mike Garofolo was that it said the word violation, that the NFL. It was clear that the NFL deemed the Seahawks to be in violation.
Yeah.
And I think that they ultimately decided not to punish them because they determined that it was not an intentional thing and more of a misinterpretation of the rules. And I think, kind of reading between the lines a lot further, I think what the Seahawks argued, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess that this is the case, is that Pete Carroll was probably overstating the severity of the injury. And I think it's important to keep in mind the context of when he made that revelation. It was on our station, actually, 2 days after the season, 2 days after their season ended with a playoff loss in Atlanta. And he was sort of trying to convey the different adversity that Sherman was facing during the season as possibly an explanation as to why he had kind of acted out a few times. There was the two sideline blowups, his relationship with the media, he'd become increasingly testy throughout the season. And I think Carroll was sort of trying to give Sherman and out there, and I think he may have overstated the severity. He called it significant, and he called it legit. I think he was maybe overstating that, or at least I'm certain that's what the Seahawks argued, and they could probably credibly argue that because Sherman never missed a single snap in a game because of it. He never had to wear a knee brace. He never looked, you know, affected by it on the field. So they certainly should have listed it, and the NFL, I think, had every right to look into that. And I think that's probably why, though. They probably deemed it to be more of a misinterpretation and an honest mistake as opposed to something that they were trying to hide. And I'd be willing to bet that the Seahawks argued that, look, I think Pete Carroll was probably overstating this. It probably wasn't nearly as significant as he made it seem.
Brady, it seems like away from the Northwest, Sherman's act for the first time as I can ever remember felt like it was getting a little tired this year. Is that because... And correct me if I'm wrong, but how was his play on the field? Did it tail off? I mean, we're not talking Darrell Revis tail off here, but is he in trouble if he continues to act this way and spout off about stuff, and then his skills erode even slightly?
Well, and that's always the big factor there is, he had another normal Richard Sherman season. Maybe the interception numbers weren't there like they have been. Like they were for a 2-year stretch when I think he had 7 in back-to-back seasons, but you got to figure some of that is just not getting nearly as many opportunities because he's not getting thrown at as much. It was another normal, you know, Richard Sherman season, which was really good. There was, you know, a couple times he was beat a few times, which, you know, happens to even the best of them. I think that's an important thing you keep in mind, that there's probably only so long that a team is going to tolerate something like this. And when you're playing at that level, you know, that's something that you can live with. I'm certain that it was not something that Carroll was at all happy about, and you know, just the team in general, and you can kind of tell some of that with Carroll. He's usually Carroll is as sort of protective of those types of issues as a coach will be. He is never going to call a player out publicly, even for, you know, poor play, and certainly something like this. He's usually going to err on the side of, you know, keeping it internal and making it seem like it's all, you know, fine. And there was a few times in there where you could kind of tell this rankled Pete. And how could it not? Because, you know, in that game, that Thursday night game on national television against the Rams, Sherman was going after Carroll verbally and going after offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell. He'd done the same thing earlier in the season to Chris Richard. And you just, you know, not even the most lax coaching staff and program can tolerate something like that. So, I think it goes back to your point of, you know, it's something that they can live with and something that they can try to work through. as long as the guy's playing well, and there's been no indication that Sherman is slipping or on the decline or anything like that.
Brady Henderson covers the Seahawks for ESPN 710 in Seattle. He's in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Is the IR strictly invented because of gambling? And why don't you just list everybody as probable, like Belichick used to do? Everybody's probable, questionable, somewhat maybe day-to-day or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's. I think this has everything to do with gambling, and I think one of the unintended consequences of this, or unintended, I guess, depending on how you look at it, is that the Seahawks are going to have to be extra vigilant about this. And you saw that in the wording from the report that they're basically getting off without any punishment this time. But if that happens again, it's going to be that much more severe. So I think you're going to see next year. It's going to be a very long injury report. Every time they file an injury report, it's going to be every guy with every single bump and bruise or whatever. I think they're going to have to be extra cautious just to avoid a situation like this. And the unfortunate part is that, that's not going to give us or anybody any clearer picture as to who may or may not be available. It's just going to be a very watered down injury report. And you're just going to, you're just going to see so many, basically half the team is going to be on there. I would imagine or a lot more than have been. And it's going to be guys that are, their status is never going to be in question. It's just something the Seahawks are probably going to have to do. To be careful to avoid another situation like this.
Hey, Brady, good job. Love having you on. We'll have to do it again, my friend. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch up with you later on.
Okay, my pleasure. I'd love to do it again. Thanks, guys.
Nice to talk to Brady Henderson. Covers the Seahawks for ESPN 710 out in Seattle, Rich. So just getting caught up in what exactly happened and just kind of making sense of the whole thing, because I wasn't really sure, what they knew. Did Pete Carroll know? Did they hide the injury? Did it not report? So hopefully that kind of cleared up a few of the things that we were kind of confused about.
And I was glad to clarify things because we talked a little bit about it yesterday and it was sort of floating around in the Le'Veon Bell situation too, a very similar kind of thing.
I thought they were going to lose a second round pick. The reports I was reading that it was definitely going to happen. Yeah. So, who the hell knows? So they got away with nothing.
Hey, by the way, did you see that new poll about best hockey towns in America? I was psyched.
Actually, I didn't. So why don't you give me the report on that?
Burlington, Vermont was number two. And I've always said after I came in here, what a great hockey town this is.
What report was this? I just want to know. What report was that they named number two?
It was in smartasset.com.
Which one?
Smartasset.com.
All right, so they had, Burlington number two. Who was number one?
Number one was Grand Forks, North Dakota. And believe me, if you've been there for a hockey game with UND, you'd agree.
Now, this is just college or all around?
No, it's every town because Pittsburgh's on here. There's some pretty big cities on here.
I meant like college hockey, or are they talking about high school hockey?
No, they're talking about college and pros. Mostly college. The great majority of this is the pros, but there's a couple of them on here that aren't. Like Pittsburgh is 24th, strictly because of the Penguins. But Burlington, Vermont was number two. But there's some ridiculous things. And the more and more I look at this, the more it doesn't seem to have any. Does the fact that you're a college town help with hockey attendance and hockey interest? Absolutely. But you also have towns. A lot of these are based on income, median monthly housing costs, unemployment rate.
What?
I know.
Brady, what is that? Brady, I'm not following. Rich is trying to I'm lost now.
No, but that's what it is. Here are the criteria.
How does housing have to do with what's a good hockey town?
No clue. Maybe you have enough money, Brady, to afford good housing, so therefore you can buy hockey tickets.
How does housing have to do with what's a good hockey town?
Blame your son. He retweeted it. That's where I saw it.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, there you go. That must have been it then.
Blame your son.
Yes. But Grand Forks, North Dakota, the home of the North Dakota Fighting Sioux.
Yes.
They're number one. Sorry, I know we're not allowed to call them that anymore, yeah. PC Patrol. Burlington was second. UND has a gorgeous 11,000-seat, incredible modern arena, which is, talk about recruiting, and they fill that thing every single game.
All right, before Rich goes off on the college hockey of the Midwest, let me just ask about here again. Is there a massive hockey market here? Fans of UVM, youth hockey, is that a huge deal here?
Yes, it's big. I mean, it's really big. They have, first of all, if I ever recommended a town to go to if you wonder about love of hockey, it's St. Albans. Life and death up there. Hockey is everything in St. Albans. I love going up there in the winter for that exact reason.
You know, I got to tell you, youth hockey is struggling here a little bit.
They
have the Lumberjacks here, and I understand that, but the problem is they used to have a big high school tournament every year to start the season off, and teams stop coming here. It's tough to get here. Yeah. It is expensive, hotels and all that stuff. We have the accommodations. We have the rinks, but it used to be the Woodchuck Classic. And they haven't played that in like 2 years now. It was the first year my son was here. So we don't have that. That was a big thing. Women's teams would come in, men's teams. They're no longer here. I mean, they have good look, the high school hockey is not the best. The prep hockey is a lot better, but I don't know how that makes it number two. I mean, Detroit has got unbelievable. Yeah. Minnesota's got unbelievable high school hockey.
Well, they said Minnesota was the number one state along with Wisconsin. And if you look at this list of best hockey towns in America, it's all Minnesota and Wisconsin for the most part. And, you know, obviously cold weather places. But Burlington was second. Really, I mean, yeah, you could look at, you know, places like St. Albans, and there's a couple of other hotbeds of hockey around here, but this all comes down to the fact that UVM pretty much puts 4,007 every night into that old hockey barn up on the hill, and they love to see 100% attendance ratio, and right. That was a huge factor in it. I mean, Hanover, which draws fairly decent crowds to Thompson Arena, but see, when you look at a place like this, Hanover was third. Because of median monthly housing costs, unemployment rate, and that jacks up the index. I mean, North Andover, Merrimack, they just spent millions on renovating their old hockey rink. They draw good crowds. Hershey, Pennsylvania has a minor league team and has for a zillion years down there, the Hershey Bears. They fill that place. It's a pretty small city. So, you know, I mean, the rest of them are pretty much Minnesota. Cambridge is in there because of Harvard, which has a half-empty arena every single night. But what does that matter? Because finances are taken into effect in this list.
By the way, I was looking at the chances of UVM getting into the tournament, you know, getting into the NCAA thing. Right now, it's tight, but they're okay right now. I think there are four teams behind them. I think when I was looking at the pairwise, and they were breaking it down in an article I was reading, they were number 16, and 16 through 21 was the group. 16 through 20 make it, though the gap between 16 and 21 very slim, though out of the five teams, I believe four would make it. That'd be the very end of it there.
This is a huge weekend for them.
Yeah.
Winning on the road at Conti Forum would do wonders for your national ranking, and that's going to be a very div. Talk to me on Monday about where they're at.
Right, speaking about national ranking, let's get a little UVM hoops in because they are on fire. Two games left before they go undefeated in conference. Do want to hear from some of the UVM fans. Hey, we're going local for you today, my friend. 802-655-6672, 655-6672. We got some combine we got to get to also, Rich, because the NFL's got the combine coming up, and we'll go ahead and talk about some of it. You're looking at me like I'm nuts on that.
I am? No, I just look at you like that all the time.
Well, you looked at me, smiled, and looked at Brady, so I figure I was nuts on that. We'll have all that when we get back. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Only climb into the middle and upper 20s. Friday night into Saturday, any plans happen without any weather worries. Overnight lows fall into the upper teens to near 20. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 24, 101.3 ESPN.
Tell us what you think at 802-655-6672. The huddle is back on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, you're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. If you want to go ahead and jump on in, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. Lots to get to as UVM hoops, my friend, who, of course, I told you was going to be in the top 25. Now 24-5 overall, 14-0 in America East play, two wins away from going perfectly undefeated in conference play, one win away from the single season record of 25 wins, which they've done a couple of times, and could have easily added a win, a game they lost to Houston.
And Houston.
Houston was the one at the buzzer,
yeah.
I believe.
And Northeastern, they lost by a bucket at home. That's their only home loss.
I don't remember. They lost at the last minute? They lost on that one, too?
Well, it's a two-point game.
Houston was the one that was with no time left. Right. With the guy. I believe they had a one-point lead, and I think the guy went coast-to-coast or something like that. When he made a shot, but anyway, actually, first of all, we're not surprised that they're doing this well. I'm just starting to be surprised that they are getting some national attention, though, and John Feinstein, of course, put him in his top 25.
That's the angle?
No. There's any angle you want to bring up.
I'm blown away by this. I talked a little bit about this before we even went on today. This was a perfect storm scenario, and it has really come true for UVM. We saw this coming about a year and a half ago. It's just like, I mean, I remember talking about it on this show. Wait till 2017, you know, wait till 2016-17, that winter, because Stony Brook's going to lose, you know, Wernie and all the other guys that made them so good. Albany's graduating and everybody, and Vermont isn't losing anybody. Wait till about a year, year and a half down the line. And it has been a perfect storm. Although UNH has gotten better, Stony Brook and Albany are still good, but they're not as dominating. And UVM has just gotten better. It surprises me that they're unbeaten in the league for sure, but it doesn't surprise me that they're in first place.
Nationally, though, I would like to go ahead and I've seen them got one of those wins earlier. That kind of puts a little damper on things, though they are crushing it right now. We're going to have John Becker on tomorrow, so I'm very excited to go ahead and speak to. I don't think we've had him on the air at all. So, Brady, you're the America East guy. You've been dealing this for a long time. So have there been teams like this that have cruised through regular season undefeated or no?
Well, UAlbany was 15-1 just 2 years ago, and they started out, I want to say, either 13 or 14-0 before losing.
Yeah, and UVM, I think, had a one-loss season, too.
But,
I mean, I don't think
recently, UAlbany was 13 or 14-0 also. That was 2 years ago when they won the America East Conference and the conference tournament also, where they beat Stony Brook at the buzzer when Hooley hit the shot. The real question, though, is are the fans excited about this? Because, you know, we set a record yesterday on our Facebook page. We put up that UVM won, like the most engagement ever on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Are people excited? Because obviously people are excited about the win streak and about the conference record, but all of it might mean nothing if there's one slip up in the league tournament.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are kind of waiting on right now. You know, okay, so they go 16-0 in the conference because, you know, but what if they do get knocked off? Because as we've said, you lose in that tournament and the whole thing goes up in smoke.
Brady, can you quickly do an RPI search on them? Do you know what they are off the top? I'm just curious on that. And by the way, like I said, if they do lose it, it'd be a shame that they wouldn't be able to make it into the NCAA tournament as an enlargement. But I guess
they won't.
America East has never taken two teams for an enlarged, or one for an enlarged and one for winning the conference tournament. So that'd be a damn shame if they came down to that.
They'll get in the NIT for winning the conference,
right,
which they will do with any combination.
And by the way,
we're
going to be broadcasting live on Wednesday, so I'm excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be out there doing the show from 4 to 6. Brady will have Champlain Valley Game Night from 6 to 6:30. Sam with the pregame at 6:30, tip-off at 7 o'clock. So we're going to be out there. We can go get something to eat afterwards and get an hour to go ahead and mess around before the game starts. I'm excited.
Or we could just get in line at concessions and have a hot dog and M&M's like I always do.
I may go up into the warm-up line. I may go ahead and start doing that. Just start shooting foul shot.
But, does anything wrap up the whole season like last night does? They go down there, and I love the way Lowell says the attendance was 2,500. There's about 150 people at that huge at Songus Arena last night. But you know, Ernie Duncan's out sick.
Yeah.
Hurley, he didn't even make the trip.
Who didn't?
Josh Hurley.
Hurley didn't. That's who I was trying to think of. And you got Nate Rohr playing 11 minutes off the bench. And so who's going to step up this time? You don't have a guy averaging more than 12 points a game. And so, okay, how about Anthony Lamb? He goes 8-for-11, puts up 24 points against a fairly decent team. I know they've got a losing record, but they can be tough at home. And they won that. They were ahead by 13 at the break. And that game was never in doubt. It's somebody different every single night with these guys.
Brady, what were you going to jump in and say? Because we cut you off there on what you wanted to say about UVM.
I was going to say, I think for the live broadcast on Wednesday when we're there, I should bring my Albany sweatshirt and my UVM sweatshirt and just hang them off the table.
Oh, that's right. They're playing Albany.
Wow.
Are you showing up?
I'm going.
Ugh. All right.
I'm going. I'm not wearing green, yellow, purple, or black.
By the way,
is
this game going to be sold out or it doesn't sell out on a Wednesday night?
I don't know what to think anymore. I mean, if we can't sell these games out, what can you sell out?
Let's go to Nick in Plattsburgh. Nick, good evening. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. I'm glad you guys are talking UVM hoops. I called in the other day, too, because I like how you guys are actually talking about them. The good thing this year, I think Brady can probably confirm this, the tournament quarterfinals and semifinals used to always be at Albany, and I remember that was a huge, because I went to college in Albany too, and it was always a huge disadvantage for those teams, because UAlbany would be like the 4 seed or the 5 seed and win those games because they were on their home court. I think this year the America East tournament is at the higher seed for every game.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's a big advantage for Vermont.
Right, it means that they're playing in front of, hopefully, 3,000 people for every game they're still alive
Well,
in.
The lack of travel, too, right?
So, absolutely. Yeah. Now everyone has to make that long trip that nobody likes to make to Burlington.
Well, the reason why they did that is because, you know, people enjoy the tournament setting, right, where one place hosts it and everyone's there, the whole conference is there. Everyone likes that feel. But what happens then when you're the host of it and then you're eliminated and no one wants to come anymore. So, like, you would have for years where, okay, just say the tournament is hosted at UMBC in Baltimore.
Right.
UMBC gets out in the first round, and then you expect people from Vermont to come down and see that? That's not going to happen. So that's why they started doing it.
And the other problem that, too, and I know because I went to a lot of them, especially back in the old days, the Brennan days, we'd go down to Delaware. And, I mean, the games that didn't involve the home team, there was literally 50 people at the game.
Right.
So they're not making any money off of it as far as ticket sales.
Only problem is time. You don't get to play back-to-back-to-back games, finish it out in 3 to 4 days. Now you got to play a game and then take, what, 2-3 days off so the team can travel, right? Isn't that the way it works? So,
yep, and then you have a week between the semifinals and the finals.
Yeah, they do that for ESPN television so they can, you know, have, like, championship week and they could have, you know, one game at, 10 o'clock in the morning, one game at noon, one game at 2.
ESPN totally controls that.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand that. I mean, that's what you got to do. That's what you sign up for when you do college basketball, but I enjoy it. I think it should be on the home court. I like it a lot better than having it at a neutral site, Rich.
Yeah, I believe if the season ended today, which obviously it doesn't, but I think it would be Hartford, Maine in the play-in, and then whoever won that game would go to Vermont. And we've seen how they've handled those two teams. So, yeah, I mean, obviously on paper this would look really good, but they have to clinch it first. And I got to credit Stony Brook. I mean, they got hammered with graduation losses. They're 11-2 in the league. 16-10 overall, and they always make things interesting. One of their great wins for UVM was down at Stony Brook a couple weeks ago, but they'll be tough.
Well, it was amazing what Stony Brook did because not only did they lose Warney, their best player, they lost Carson Purifoy, their point guard, they lost Steve Peichel, their head coach, and their best returning player got arrested and thrown off the team in the offseason. So they are literally doing this from scratch.
All right, you're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. So if you want to talk a little catamounts, 802-655-6672. Also, just a little side story that we didn't get to in hour number one. And, did you see this tattoo? Did you see the picture of the tattoo?
I purposely not looked.
I have looked. First of all, it looks like him, but it looks like a Tom Brady Brady, give everybody the story on what happened here on this tattoo.
Yeah, better you than anyone else.
Yeah, than anybody else. Go ahead, tell everybody what happened here.
Bottom line, guy goes into a tattoo parlor after the Patriots win the Super Bowl and says he wants Tom Brady's face on his butt. So there's a Tom Brady butt tattoo just waiting to be seen by somebody that's not me.
2 to 3 hours it took to do that. And I did take a picture of it. It looks a little warped, but you can tell it's Tom Brady. I will say that.
What's
he
going to do? Hey, look, everybody. You know, sitting in some bar, he just drops his pants. I mean, how is he going to show off? How do you show off a butt tattoo?
Who wants to buy me a beer? I'll show you my Tom Brady tattoo. And I'm sure there's a lot of people. I'll buy you a beer. Do you have a tattoo? You have any tats?
Oh, hell no.
You're not tatted up?
No. My daughter had to do a lot of convincing just to get one. And me pay for it.
Oh, so you don't like when we get all tatted up? It bothers you?
No, it doesn't bother me. It's just it's not something I'd do.
I got a big battleship on my chest. That's what I do not. Get out of here.
I don't think.
Brady, are you tatted up or no?
No. Always wanted to, though.
I was thinking
afraid of needles. So that's the thing.
I don't like needles either.
I like the cool and tough guy factor of it, but afraid of needles.
Oh, my gosh, the gym. I mean, you've been in there.
There's
guys,
you
don't even know what color their skin is.
Have you ever seen any, like, catamount? The tattoos.
No, I can't say UVM.
No, get out of here, really? No. I was going to get like the A for Arizona on my ankle or something like that.
If you really had any guts, you would have gotten the tattoo before the season started. Catamounts logo, AP top 25. If you really had any guts.
If I went to school here, I might have done that. If
well,
I went to UVM.
You went to school here. You wear a UVM Catamount shirts every day
I
now.
I am. Is it going to be, by the way, on Wednesday, is it going to be like gold out or gray out? Because the last game I went to was gold out.
I think purple out. I think they're bringing the big purple growl.
The only thing I like about Albany are their uniforms. Those are sweet.
Because I want to go ahead and do that. So I'm excited about that, though. I really am. I want to go because we have not broadcasted from there. So I'm excited about that.
That'll be fun. And if there's ever a game to pack the place, it would be next Wednesday.
One other story I wanted to get to, Malcolm Butler and Tom Brady both having movies made about them.
Butt tats and movies.
I got to tell you, Malcolm Butler, the story was that he worked at, Popeyes a year before the Super Bowl.
Apparently.
And Tom Brady, boy, what a story that is, looking flabby coming out of Michigan, and look what he's turned to now. Which is the better story, by the way, the Malcolm Butler to Tom Brady?
I just don't think there's many secrets with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady isn't authorizing this. And this just sounds like some sort of, it's like those books that come out 5 days after some huge event, like when Sully landed the plane. I think it was less than a week later, there was a full 300-page book. about it, and then there's a movie.
I love Sully. He's an American hero. Don't talk bad about Captain Sully.
No, but you
Sully.
Know what I mean. Every now and then you'll get some crazy event that goes on, and 5 days later there's a full-blown book about it. I'm not expecting... I don't think the TB12 movie is looking at some Oscars here when it comes out.
No, I think I'd rather go ahead and see the Tom Brady movie than the other one. So but what about you, Brady? Which one?
I'd rather see the Butler movie because the Tom Brady story's already been told.
Yeah,
pick 199, 5-3 on the 40-yard dash, bunch of Super Bowls. We've already heard that. I'd rather hear about Butler.
Who plays Brady? Somebody said Matt Damon?
Yeah, it's got to be somebody good-looking like that. By the way, can somebody explain to me? Because I don't know what the hell is going on between Matt Damon... since you bring him up.
By the way, is he on every single TV show and commercial?
Yes. Is this a true thing with him and Jimmy Kimmel, or is that a fake thing? Is that like a real war going on? Does anybody know?
I thought they adored each other. They have some of the funniest skits I've ever seen.
No, but there's... is there something going on between Jimmy Kimmel's wife and Damon? Was there like they used to date or something like that? Or is this just a big...
Jimmy Fallon. Is it Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, it's Jimmy Kimmel.
He was just on one of them.
I know he was on with Jimmy
Brady.
I'm talking about Jimmy Kimmel. I'm talking about that. Because I don't know the Hollywood scene. I thought him and Matt Damon were like in war or something like that.
He doesn't know the Hollywood scene, so he asks us to fill him in.
I thought you guys would know, but Brady's the young guy. He watches all those shows.
I thought you do. 3 minutes of television a week.
I thought it was news. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely nuts on that. Maybe somebody will go ahead and tell me on that. All right, when we get back, a lot more to get to. Obviously, we got to look into the NFL comp. All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Plenty to get to, Rich. As we said yesterday, the NFL Combine around the corner. The NFL now deciding to ban players that have checkered past or past that are a little bit sketchy out there. Matter of fact, Joe Mixon from Oklahoma, the one that punched the young lady and decked her, he is not going to be attending. Ishmael Zamora, the young man from Baylor. His was a sexual thing.
He beat a dog.
That's right, the dog thing. And Chad Kelly from Ole Miss not invited to the combine. There was a video of Chad Kelly ingesting some type of white line substance, but nobody knew what it was. I guess is.
So have any of these people been convicted of anything? Obviously the Mixon one was pretty obvious. It was right there.
What do you mean convicted by like a court of law?
Yeah,
I don't think any of them.
Huh.
But Joe Mixon was punished by Oklahoma and had to sit out for a year.
Right, and look, I don't want to see Joe Mixon anywhere except behind bars where he belongs, but whether or not he's behind bars or ever is, the NFL sort of, I believe, instituted a policy that sort of bars prospects if they wanted to go to the combine, if you have a misdemeanor or a felony conviction involving violence or use of a weapon, that sort of thing, sexual assault, and certainly Mixon wasn't convicted in that case. But I think at this point, the NFL can make a decision whether or not they want to invite him. Don't they hold all the cards here on these guys?
Well, this is the first time it's been done, Brady, but I have to assume.
This is the second year.
Okay, so the wide receiver from Kansas City?
Nope, he was there.
Ran
the fastest 40, Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, the one that allegedly punched a pregnant woman.
Punched his pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, so, how did they allow that in? And then anybody know?
Don't know. Mm.
I have no idea. Do you get fired up about the combine? Is it just because people starve for football all year round and this is just sort of the next logical step? Because obviously the NFL draft is a huge event.
The only reason the combine's coming up is because they're not allowing these three guys to go. Right. I didn't know this was the second year, though. I thought this was the first year they were doing this. I'm shocked that you told me they let Hill go in after he punched his pregnant girlfriend. So I'm not quite sure, how they're deciding who gets to go and who doesn't get to go to the NFL combine.
Well, maybe they were just sort of feeling it out. Now they've set the guidelines.
Doesn't get worse than that, guy.
Feeling more comfortable about how they want to move forward with this.
I'll be honest. I actually don't like this. The holding them out.
Uh-huh.
Because for better or worse, these players are going to be allowed to play in the NFL. They're going to be allowed. They're not banned from the league. So why not get them at a central location where every team has a chance to talk to them individually and see if this is a guy you want to bring into your franchise. Mm-hmm. Is this a guy that you want to take a risk on? Is this a guy that you think has changed? Is this a guy that you're comfortable? Now, any team who might be interested has to send one guy out to, or a team of people to fly out to meet him individually, or they have to pay for him to come out to their facility. Right. It just seems easier that if these guys are going to be allowed into the league, they're right there for everybody to talk to and address it all at once.
Right, and you know what? I hadn't even thought of that angle on it. I just said, well, I saw the video of him beating a girl and the video of kicking a dog or whatever, and you immediately just, you don't even think about it. You just say, well, get that guy out of here. He belongs in jail. But you're right. That's just another step. But it's just another attempt by the NFL to just sort of try to alter their image a little bit. Obviously, they're not going to be looked at as squeaky clean, but at least this is a step away from these guys.
This doesn't do anything. These teams can still draft these guys. So
I understand. That's what Brady said, and I agree with him. It's forcing these guys to take an extra step to learn more about them.
Well, they could just watch game film. I don't know how much of the extra step they'll have to take.
Because character more than ever for these guys especially is important. You want to meet these guys face-to-face.
I guess character was not a concern for the Kansas City Chiefs then last
Apparently
year
not.
When they took Tyreek Hill, who punched it. I don't know what he could have possibly said that made it okay. Any of you two guys want to take a guess on that?
I just think that if these guys are going to be allowed, these guys are not banned from the league. So teams deserve the opportunity to go and talk to these guys up front in person, ask all the questions they want, have them be an open book, and then they can at least have a first impression of them on their own. By not allowing them to combine, you're causing these teams much, much more trouble to go and look into them.
And that's fine. That's why I said, can you imagine what Tyreek Hill said to the Kansas City Chiefs when they said, hey, well, tell us about the situation. And he said, well, you know, she asked for it or something like that. And they probably said, that's okay. I mean, I can't imagine, unless they probably didn't ask him, which is what I'm guessing. They didn't want to bring it up. Yeah. But I'm just saying, what could they possibly have asked him where he gave him an explanation and they said, well, okay, then we understand. That's okay then.
Right. And in Joe Mixon's case, obviously, he's not going to get the opportunity to show any remorse and, you know, or say something stupid like she was asking for it. That's what Brady's point is about this. They don't get to make that step.
Right, well, Tyreek Hill did. So I'm just wondering why he was not held out last year when he is the worst
out
of everybody on this list. Everybody on this list. I mean, he is just horrible. When you hit a pregnant woman, I have no tolerance for you.
But would you agree that he would have been in the NFL this past year whether he went to the combine or not? Might have dropped.
He would have definitely dropped. I don't know. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. Let's see what happens with Joe Mixon.
But the thing is, with him, they were aware of his transgression, obviously.
Of course, yes.
They still drafted him.
Yes, they did.
So I don't know if the combine would have made any difference.
That's why. What could he have possibly said to the Kansas City Chiefs that made this whole thing okay and blow it away unless they didn't ask him, which is what I'm betting they didn't do. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. If you want to go ahead and jump on in, 802-655-6672. That's 655-6672. Ryan from Fairfax. Ryan, good evening. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, it's Brian, but that's okay.
Close enough. Pretend you're Ryan. Go ahead.
One letter here and there.
Hey, first of all, I love the combine, and I could sit there and watch it all day long. And I know it sounds kind of funny, but I have some background in sports medicine and all that. And
exercise.
That makes sense.
So I look at it from a different angle. Well, I could sit there and just watch their feet move all day long. Well, with what Brady said, I kind of disagree with him because I think the NFL has to separate the people with a troubled past and the combine. Because if you don't, you're putting them all into the same pool, and they're kind of looking at it like it's okay if he beat whoever he's beaten, or a dog, girlfriend, or whatever. So I hear what Brady's saying, but if you really want to pursue this person with their past, then you're going to have to fly out there and talk to them yourself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think there's that separation, and they're just throwing everyone in the same pool together.
Yeah. No, he makes a good point. I agree with that, Brady. Go ahead.
I would just say then, at that rate, then why don't we just never talk to them, not invite them to any NFL-sanctioned event? No team ever talks to them. They get drafted in the first round, and they never answer the questions. How about that? He's off the line, but
I have that concern too. The fact that if you're obviously there are huge character questions about Mixon and Zamora, Kelly, all these guys.
Yeah.
And if you never have any access to their character face to face, isn't that a problem?
Well,
have to assume they're not going to be drafted if you don't get to talk to them face to face. You don't draft kids nowadays for the most part unless you get to talk to them in the first round face to face and find out about them, yet alone a guy that has done assault or sexual assault or something like that.
But doesn't the fact that they're not allowed to the combine just, I don't know, I'll say it again, sort of add that extra step? I guess you have to go out and do your due diligence and do a little bit more homework on some of these guys because they aren't being invited to the combine.
That's what they want. They want you to go ahead and they take the extra step so maybe these guys could drop because they think they're scum of the earth. That's what they're doing here. They want these guys to make it hard to interview them so they can drop. So you can say, you know what, these are bad guys, and this is the punishment you get for being a bad guy and attacking women or dogs or whatever. Now, Chad Kelly, I feel bad for because I don't think he should be on that list.
Well, he was arrested in 2014 for a couple things. I have to get it. I just closed it.
Well, if it's assault, then I'm wrong. But if it's just for the white substance,
it's not assault. It's resisting arrest, among other things.
Okay, then, I think it's from the the white substance thing. So, that I've a little bit different than the other two, to be honest.
And by the way, maybe I'll change my mind about the combine. Why don't we go to Ryan's house up in Fairfax? Just have a huge combine party.
I know people that love the combine.
Oh, I do too. Yeah,
I'm not a big combine fan.
I know people who hold huge draft parties all over the place. Normal, articulate, intelligent people.
So here's why.
Yeah.
So Kelly was in a nightclub brawl in which he was thrown out of a bar while being underage, tried to re-enter, and then continued to fight with two bouncers and said, "I'm going to go to my car and get my AK-47 and spray this place."
All right, so now there you go.
There's
a character issue. But again, that is far less, than Tyreek Hill of Kansas City.
But it certainly would make you think
twice. Absolutely.
I mean, this just sounds like one night of way too much drinking and an attitude.
Is that Jim Kelly's nephew? Is that who that is? I think that's Jim Kelly's nephew.
No idea, but obviously
could you imagine that, huh? Jeez, I'm not sure. Brady will look that up, but I think it's Jim Kelly's nephew. I could only imagine upset he would be over all this,
Well, the thing is they're trying to weed these guys out a little bit because I guarantee you, I mean, think about it over the years at the Combine. There's plenty of non-choir boys at the Combine over the years who have made an awful lot of money because they were there regardless of past transgressions because there was no rule in effect.
He is the nephew of Jim Kelly, and he's already been thrown out of Clemson when he was first supposed to go there and then signed at Ole Miss.
So, I know Jim had some comments about this not long ago. He's not happy about the whole situation.
Yeah, maybe he isn't.
Not happy about the whole situation. And Jim's a righteous guy, too.
Yeah, he doesn't need that after everything he's been through in the last 100%. Few years.
100%. All right, Hanley Ramirez, what's going on? Says he's trying to get the fires going about David Ortiz coming back. But, are we going to just every report that comes out, and then we're going to say he's not coming back? How many more people are going to be bringing this up?
Can we assume he didn't show up today in Fort Myers?
Ramirez said yesterday that Ortiz told him basically, "Hey, if I miss you, I miss you. If I was going to come back, you were going to be one of the main reasons why."
So therefore, he's coming back. No.
So
I love the Boston media.
What's more annoying, Garoppolo or Ortiz retirement story?
Well, because I think the Garoppolo thing is fluid. I mean, Ortiz, there's nothing there.
I love the Garoppolo story. I mean, not only is it a local story, it's a national story. I hear Colin talking about it. I talk about it nationally. Everybody is talking, Fox, ESPN. I love the Garoppolo story because, one, he's a franchise quarterback. Two, he's going to be traded. Three, there's a lot of teams that are going to want him. Four, it has to do with the Patriots. Five, it kind of has to do with Tom Brady. I love everything about it.
And as much as excited as I am about baseball coming around, believe me, I can't wait, but the idea of Ortiz coming back, my willingness to accept that as an okay thing ended at about the All-Star break of last year. After that, it just was like, David, don't do it. Don't be that guy. And now he certainly can't be that. But as a Sox lifer, do I want his 30 homers and 120 RBI in the middle of that lineup? Hell yeah, but not under these circumstances.
How many people are going to be wearing their big poppy jerseys next year anyway?
Yeah, and the media, I mean, I've been looking at a lot of stuff. I mean, all you're seeing is they're all getting inundated with questions of what's it like being in Fort Myers without Poppy around?
They didn't give away his number, did they? That's stupid. Of course not.
It's being retired.
No. Well, I thought it has to. Oh, really? I thought that takes a while. I didn't know you could retire it right away.
We did this story.
We had
being
this
retired
big conversation.
My bad. My bad. Hey, you've never forgot about stuff we talked about.
Billy,
huh?
I've never forgotten a thing.
What did we talk about last hour? There you go. All right.
We didn't. We just yelled at each other.
We'll come back. We'll have last story standing. You're in the huddle with Rich and Artie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow on Mike and Mike in the Morning at 9 o'clock in studio, it's ESPN NBA analyst and former NBA standout.
Pennyworth, JCPenney.
Bell 215 to 220. Levi's and some other exclusions apply. Extra 20% off subject to credit approval. Check jcp.com or your newspaper for couponing details.
Time for one last piece of news.
I'm going to tell you an incredible story.
Wacky or insightful? Gone untouched throughout the entire show. Last story standing.
All right, we got two last stories standing. Rich, you give the first one. I got the second one. I got a good one here.
What, about Eugenie
Bouchard? Yeah, you were just talking about it with Brady.
Apparently she gave that guy a second date. Is that right?
Rich, Brady, give me the story.
Jeannie Bouchard, the Canadian tennis player, she took a bet from the guy on Twitter that said if the Patriots won the Super Bowl, he had to go on a date with her.
Right.
They went out last night. They went to the Nets game. She was in New York because she's part of the SI swimsuit edition, so she was getting that big reveal. They actually flashed her picture up on the screen, and everyone applauded.
She's good looking now. I saw a picture of her.
There's certainly nothing else to cheer about at a Nets game.
So she has granted the guy a second date because she said that he's normal, and they had a great time.
A little love connection.
He even kissed her cheek.
Did they have, the kiss cam on them?
It was a Twitter picture after.
Okay.
So she likes the guy.
Well, good. Glad it worked.
I was just looking at a picture of very, very stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Which one, the guy or her?
Well, he's good looking, too. He's a good looking guy, too.
Rich, who would you ask for a Twitter date?
He
doesn't know any women.
I don't know any pop culture or anything.
How about a woman from 1970, then?
He doesn't know any women there, either.
I used to have a wicked crush on Cheryl Teagues.
I don't know who that is. How about Christy Brinkley?
Yeah,
how about her?
And she still is a very fine-looking woman. What is she, 65? 63?
I like strong women. Misha Tate from UFC. I want to date her. Yes, I like her. I like her.
Well, she could keep Arnie in his place.
Yes, exactly.
Believe me, she could.
By the way, I've gotten the answer on... You guys, remember we made the bet that if I lost the picks, that I was supposed to take everybody to Taco Bell.
Yes.
Yes. Well, now I know why. See, everybody thinks I'm stupid.
I know where this is going.
Everybody thinks I'm stupid.
So you can get married?
That's right. So Brady wants to get married. That's why he keeps sending me to Taco Bell, because the story now says you can get married in Taco Bell.
Isn't it in Israel or something?
No, that's the Burger King for Valentine's Day. You got them mixed up there.
Yeah, they've set up a Vegas-style wedding chapel in a Taco Bell. I remember hearing about this.
Would you get married
morning.
In a Taco Bell? Would you do
I
that?
Would, of course, I'd never get married. So, no, not really.
No, you wouldn't do the Taco Bell
thing? Of course not. I'd like to at a nice church
Brady,
somewhere.
You're a Taco Bell fan. That's your thing.
I'd want to get married on a baseball field. Taco Bell would be number two, though.
Wait a minute. What was that movie? That they got married on the baseball field.
It's Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. Yeah. That's it. That was it. Bull Durham with the bats over.
Guy got married at Centennial Field. Exact same ceremony.
Oh, get out. A player or just a regular
fan
person?
Of the team. Guy was,
He got married there?
Skip Farrell and Wonder Wendy, season ticket holders. They got married right there on the field, and players included.
Get out. Was there an extra big crowd, like their family and friends and all that?
Yeah, it was a full-blown thing.
That's fun. You see, I like doing stuff like that. I would totally do that.
Oh, yeah, and they're still sitting there right in the front row, right behind home plate every night.
Okay, so they go to all the games,
too. Absolutely. It was wonderful.
All right, that is awesome. All right, we got to wrap things up. I'm sorry about the bobblehead. How many times I got to say it? I'm sorry about the bobblehead.
Well, you can go to Cooperstown, go to the basement, and get me another hunk of junk.
Well, what are you doing this weekend? It's only, five
hours?
I'm
working. I'm working Friday night. I'm working Saturday
night. Now you're
not
working.
I'm working Sunday night. I do have a quarter of a billion listeners every month.
Yeah.
You know, we got Power Play tomorrow.
Yeah. What do you guys want to do it on? Brady Garoppolo or both?
No.
Taco Bell, a church, or both? I don't know.
No Garoppolo.
I can't think.
Red Sox, Yankees, or both?
No, we've done that. Oh, no, we haven't done
that. Take suggestions.
Rich, Arnie, or both?
Oh, we got to make it easy. Please dumb it down. We can't do all that. For Brady, for Rich, for Jackson, I'm Arnie. Back tomorrow. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here. 101.3 ESPN.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
This is Ken Kreitz, the K-Train of RotoWire, and you are listening to the Home of the Huddle with Rich and Arnie, 101.3 ESPN.
Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next. And in Champlain Valley Game Night, we talk about could Alex Rodriguez be the future manager of the Yankees? That might not be as far-fetched as it sounds. How about Doc Rivers has a shot thrown at him from one of his former players? And could Adrian Peterson be coming to New York in 2017? Tony Romo could be on his way out of Dallas. In fact, he expects to be on his way out of Dallas. Cowboys quarterback expects to be released by the Cowboys rather than traded. Could Army and Navy be hosted at Fenway Park in 2018? Well, that's entirely possible. Fenway has put in a bid to host the 2018 rivalry game. They're going up against Gillette Stadium and Yankee Stadium as well. Tom Brady and Malcolm Butler will both have movies made about their stories. Tom Brady about the comeback in the Super Bowl, and Malcolm Butler about his rise to prominence and his own Super Bowl memory. Butler is involved in the production of his movie, while Brady is not involved in the production of his movie. Champlain Valley Game Night next. You're listening to 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and the 101.3 ESPN app.